Hello, folks. My name is Will Aitchison. I'm the Director of Labor Relations Information System, and I'd like to welcome you to another of our training podcasts. Today, we're going to be talking about a very emerging issue. I'm recording this the day after the doctor in New York City was diagnosed as suffering from Ebola. And this is something that law enforcement agencies, fire protection agencies, all sorts of public safety agencies are facing around the country. And really, the question that has to be asked is, are public safety agencies prepared for communicable disease epidemics or the potential for communicable disease epidemics? This podcast is spurred by what's been going on with respect to Ebola, but really, as nearly as anybody can seem to tell, Ebola isn't even the biggest risk. In fact, the risks from Ebola may well be mild compared to the potential risks from other diseases, such as antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis. And I also have to confess something right at the outset. We are a group that is dedicated to analyzing labor relations and personnel issues. We're not scientists. We're not doctors here. In fact, one of the reasons I became a lawyer was because I stared down organic chemistry in the face in college and decided I wanted to go the social sciences route. What we're talking about in this podcast are the sorts of personnel and labor relations questions that law enforcement and fire protection agencies should be asking about their communicable disease policies. Not the scientific questions. We'll leave those for others. So what sorts of questions should public safety agencies be asking? How should their policies be shaped by however it is they answer these questions? And let's start with, I think, the basic personnel question, which is, who's in charge and who can give orders when you have a communicable disease outbreak? Is it the CDC, the Center for Disease Control? Is it some state health agency, or is it the public safety agency itself? If you look at CDC's rules, they appear to be in a purely advisory role. That may be less the case with state public health agencies and county public health agencies, depending upon how your laws are structured. But you need to figure this out. You need to figure out who can give orders at the scene of either a quarantine or some other exposure area where there is an epidemic. Because public safety officers, you know, EMTs, firefighters, police officers, they need to know who's in charge and who has the ability to tell them what to do. That needs to be lined out clearly in an employer's rules. The second question that has to be asked is, who's going to respond? Who in the agency is going to respond? I think what we're evolving to see is that public safety agencies are really admitting that not everybody in the agency either can or, in fact, should be the front line for responding to, for example, an Ebola patient. You don't have the equipment that's available to do that, and you can't train everybody to do that. And I think what we're evolving to see is that there should be a specially trained and outfitted communicable disease, almost like a SWAT team or something like that. People who are trained in putting on and taking off the medical contamination suits and who have been given specific training about the disease vectors, the means of communicability of the disease and the like, that those should be the people who are at the front lines, and that other public safety employees, in fact, should be going the other direction and leaving the front lines to this, if you will, a communicable disease type of SWAT team. Next question that comes up is, how will officers, firefighters, EMTs, how will they be selected to respond or deal with these sorts of potential medical contamination issues? I think we can all probably agree that a voluntary system of assignment would be best, that you don't want to be a public safety agency and be in the position of ordering an EMT against her or his will, or ordering a firefighter or a police officer to do something with respect to a seriously ill patient who has a virulent communicable disease. I think we can all say that that is the ideal. But ultimately, a law enforcement fire protection EMT agency is going to be able to order employees to respond. And I don't think public safety officers are going to be allowed to refuse an assignment, other than perhaps, just perhaps, on some sort of religious basis. But frankly, it's even very difficult to see that. But I think it is clear that the volunteer first notion is the best way to go. It avoids all sorts of potential disciplinary and other issues that would arise. What we're not seeing right now is we're not seeing public safety agencies, even in the biggest of cities, actually setting up a volunteer system, where firefighters, EMTs, or law enforcement officers who want to be on these sorts of teams, where they are being pre-selected, they are being trained, and they are being properly outfitted. The next question that comes up is, what sort of protective gear and equipment should employees who are on a containment assignment be issued? I think this is particularly a difficult one for law enforcement officers. I mean, just picture this for a moment. What if you've got a law enforcement officer who is on a containment site wearing the protective gear, you know, the sort of gear that we've all now seen on television quite a bit? What happens if an immediate and pressing law enforcement need is presented? So let's say an officer is in the situation in Dallas. What if an officer is one of the officers who's containing people who's inside the apartment, and one of the people who's living in the apartment decides they're not going to take it anymore, and they're going to run out, and they're going to assault anybody who is in their way? And then we have a law enforcement officer who's got this sort of gear on, but does not have access to what's normally on their gun belt, unless you have modifications in the way the equipment is worn. These are just issues that that have to be addressed, and in particular, I just can't say this enough, there has to be training, and then there has to be more training, and there has to be preparation for these sorts of issues. Now, because some of these things are clearly labor relations issues and probably mandatory for bargaining, there's all sorts of safety issues that are attendant to this. At least there would be the obligation, I would think, to do impact bargaining if you have, if you're in an environment where there is collective bargaining. Everybody should be thinking about what sorts of issues should be bargained. Of course, the selection process may be one that should be bargained. But there are also, if you think about it, there are economic issues. There's not just the obvious one. Should be some sort of hazmat or akin to hazmat that you see in fire service quite often, premium pay. But should employees who are being assigned to these sorts of teams receive some sort of extra compensation? I'd suggest to you that some sort of extra compensation might go a long way to encouraging people to volunteer to be on these teams. And one thing also you ought to be thinking about is, should employees who are assigned to these teams have some sort of enhanced benefits? And by enhanced benefits, I mean enhanced disability coverage that would deal with on-the-job disabilities, or additional life insurance, an extra life insurance policy that might be tied into this specific risk. Even a very high-value term life insurance policy, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, is probably going to be very, very cheap here if it is tied into this particular risk, because the risk is low. Even though the consequences are high, the relative risk levels are low. I think the mantra that you're hearing from us right now in this very early phase of dealing with these sort of terrible communicable disease issues, I think the mantra that you're hearing from us with respect to these communicable disease policies is the time to be talking about them is now. It is not when you have, for example, in Dallas, police officers who were on a containment site who may well have been exposed to Ebola and ended up themselves having to be quarantined. It's before that happens, before we end up with public safety employees out there exposed to these sorts of diseases. We need to walk through the whole notion of the chain of command, how people are assigned, whether they have a right to say no to an assignment, how we're going to encourage them to be assigned, all sorts of issues with respect to the protective gear and equipment that they are issued. This is a brief podcast. We're going to come back. We will update it as these issues develop over time. If you have ideas for us, things that I haven't addressed in this podcast, please do send them in to us by email. Our email address is info@lris.com. That's it for this podcast. We hope to see you at another training podcast. This is Will Aitchison signing off.